our policy is to prevent it rather than being able to stand up to it if it happens again. We have to be ready. Deep inside Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone sits the opulent sprawling edifice that until 2003 served as Saddam Hussein's Republican Palace, with four 13-foot bronze busts of the dictator on the rooftop, visible for miles around. The busts are long gone, and now down those same long marble corridors where Saddam once ruled with an iron grip is the office of al-Abadi, who has been charged with creating a prosperous country out of post-war Iraq. It is a daunting mission. Al-Abadi, 65, seems an unlikely figure to have landed the role. Short and soft-spoken, he does not look like the textbook version of a war hero, yet he has been cast as one in his election campaign. Billboards around Baghdad highlight his role as Iraq's military commander-in-chief, who brought the country back from the brink. An electrical engineer raised in Baghdad, al-Abadi spent more than 20 years in exile in London during Saddam's regime. He flew home in 2003, just as the U.S. invasion began, as a member first of the Governing Council and then Iraqi's Parliament. He witnessed firsthand the turmoil that followed 2003, which cost 4,500 American lives and an estimated 460,000 Iraqi ones. The invasion uncorked lethal enmities, with Saddam's hardline Sunni loyalists staging a bloody insurgency against the U.S. military and their Iraqi allies, and Shiite groups waging battle against both U.S. forces and Sunnis. Iraq has, to many, become shorthand for the unintended consequence of U.S. intervention and has put American foreign policy on a more isolationist path. President Trump says it was a mistake for the U.S. to have intervened. The Sunni insurgency, after 2003, seeded a murderous terrorist cell, al-Qaeda, in Iraq, which later morphed into a group with designs on the country itself, the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria, or ISIS.